gifts I'm preparing for some Christmas sharing. But I pause because hang in my stocking, I can hear a knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus? Shoe is dark out, ain't the slightest spark out upon my clacking jaw. Who's there? Who is it? Stopping for a visit? Is that you, Santa Claus? Are you bringing a present for me? Something pleasantly pleasant for me.
I love this one, man.
It's just what I've been waiting for. You mind slipping it under the dough?
And also, welcome back to Cairo Nights, by the way. I'm Spike Neal. That's Matt Butler. And, of course, the great Satchmo Louis Armstrong. And anytime you want to drop Eartha Kitt doing Santa Baby on us, you have my permission, my friend, anytime. But not the Madonna version.
I was going to say.
Oh, gosh. You know, that, you know, I don't mean to be a Christmas snob. I really don't. I mean, clearly the way I've insulted so many great artists doing these Christmas parodies we did over the years, you know.
I would think most of them would be flattered.
Not that Bing Crosby thing we did earlier tonight. No.
Oh, yeah. You don't think Bing would have gone
I don't.
That
I don't think. I don't think. Well, Bing might have. I don't think I would insult David Bowie with that.
Oh, okay.
No, but I talked about it earlier about A Very Special Christmas. That one album that I think it was like in the 80s that came out, and it's a collection of rocker Christmas songs. Let me think. Bruce Springsteen's got Merry Christmas Baby on there. Bob Seger's got Little Drummer Boy on there. It's got some really great covers. Stevie Nicks does Silent Night on there. It came up because we were bemoaning the fact that we lost Christine McVie and never got a Christmas album out of Fleetwood Mac. Who would have done a brilliant Christmas record? I mean, just brilliant. You know, the great losses, I think, of our age, that Amy Winehouse never did a Bond movie song, which would have been epic, and Fleetwood Mac didn't do a Christmas song. But the Madonna of Santa Baby is just, oh, that and Taylor Swift's version of Last Christmas. Just, and I understand that young Taylor Swift at that time was a product of the country music industry and not enough of an established artist to probably call her own shots. But Matt, I've bitched about this before, and you pointed out maybe she just loved that Wham original so much that she did that song as a loving tribute, and it just fell flat to me.
It's the one aspect of commerce that I'm not as cynical about, because I believe that some people still make music that they want to make and yet are still massively popular. I think Taylor's one of those artists. She has her vision.
And, you know, sometimes you're cynical, sometimes I'm cynical. It's how, you know, we trade places. Sometimes you lead, sometimes I'll lead. It's going to be great.
Well, one of my all-time favorite songs was Cynical Girl by Marshall Crenshaw, so there's that. Nice.
The album that you wanted to share with the audience, I know you didn't have it scheduled till later. Can we move to that now?
Absolutely.
I don't want to dive down a rabbit hole of talking about whether, you know, this election was rigged, or that recount is paid for by the, you know, the taxpayer or the candidate, and all these things that are happening now.
Are we going to allege that Seattle's most streamed artist was rigged?
No, I think Taylor deserves every bit of that credit. It's amazing to me. I love music. I do, and you do too. And I think everybody in the audience, every time we get on a musical bender on this show, the text lines, by the way, at 888-973-5476, we get new texters on a regular basis, which is encouraging. Our boss must love that. We've got a lot of folks that text almost daily, some daily, and we love that too, because oftentimes we will see things from other sides, and we can agree to disagree, and we can respect each other when we do so. We've kind of weeded out those name callers for the most part. Some of them still hang around, and that's okay, you know. But we just asked, and we kind of demand that you be respectful. We don't always fail. I'm not perfect. We try to be respectful in our actions with the audience.
In the words of the late Tuco Salamanca, respect, S.A., you got to give it to get it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Someone texts in from the 360, Christmas songs by Elvis. Absolutely, Elvis Presley. The first Elvis or the first Christmas song we played this year, I think, was an Elvis Christmas song.
It was.
You know, and that's the one that lives in my CD player, is the Elvis Christmas album. Not a bad track on it. Even when they posthumously dug up Elvis, I don't mean that's a horrible way to put that, and had him do one of those do it in the studio duets with Carrie Underwood for Blue Christmas.
Do you dislike all of those?
No, I don't. Didn't Nat King Cole and Natalie Cole?
That was the one I was going to name because I thought that one was actually really good.
And there are moments where, you know, it's a wonderful loving tribute, and I'm sure that's all Carrie Underwood had in mind. Much like Taylor Swift doing Wham, because she loved that record, I'm sure that the tribute that they made with Elvis posthumously and Carrie Underwood doing Blue Christmas, and I think I'll Be Home for Christmas also has a duetted version on that particular album or CD. I don't think Carrie Underwood made it when it was still vinyl. I think her contribution came into the CD era.
If well, not now the, you can get even like Taylor Swift vinyl because vinyl's a trendy thing.
Vinyl's so back.
Even release vinyl.
Records. I know, right? And to be fair, with the right system and the right stylus, the right needle on your turntable, nothing sounds like vinyl. Nothing. You know, you can put more sound into a vinyl recording. It's amazing. More so than digital, I think, anyway, more so than digital. Vinyl's got soul. Vinyl's got depth.
There was a quote from the famed British DJ John Peel, and someone came up to him one time and said, John, which do you prefer, CDs or vinyl? Vinyl has surface noise. Peel pauses. He looks at this guy, and he goes, mate, life has surface noise.
Amen. Yep. Yeah, we become so spoiled and expecting of perfection that flaws are no longer, we're no longer willing to overlook flaws in just about everything, right? We've become such a catered to population, a catered to society that we can't wait for service. We can't wait for delivery. We can't accept imperfections. We got to have it be a better, faster, cheaper. You know, there's an old axiom of having something done. There's a good, fast, and cheap. You can have any two, but not all three. If you want something good, if you want it fast, it ain't cheap.
And if it's fast and cheap and not good.
If you want something fast, you want something cheap, it ain't good. Exactly. You can only have two of the three. You can have it good and cheap, but it won't be fast. Right? You can only have two of those three. And that's true for almost everything. So the artist that you wanted to share, the Christmas album that you wanted to share.
Yes.
Have I thrown you a curveball hit?
I'm good. I've got the improv. This is why I've been 20 years in the business.
Attaboy. I knew you could pull this off.
All right.
So who are we talking about? Enlighten me, my favorite elf.
The other night, we were discussing how original Christmas music is often not as good. It doesn't have the staying power that the classics have. So tonight, I'm going to bring to you in the audience an album by an artist that so respects tradition that he made an entire original Christmas music album, and every track on it is actually good.
So the artist is?
It's Oklahoma's own J.D. McPherson. He has toured with Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. He has a definite retro vibe. He loves the rockabilly and classic soul of the 50s and 60s. He's got an album called Socks, came out about 4 years ago. And here is a little sample of the first track called All the Gifts I Need.
All those happy songs while the little ones are dancing. yeah, I got all the gifts I need.
You can see it as influences a lot of that Dixieland jazz, classic R&B.
Yeah.
Guy's awesome.
Is that your favorite track on the album?
Oh, hard to say, because there are so many good ones. Now, the title cut, of course, the album is called Socks, and this one is a funny song.
Early Christmas morning, sneaky as can be, I creep across the carpet and I peek under the tree. Pick out a gift from mom to me and bring it to my ear. Give it a little shimmy shake and what do I hear? Socks.
Dude, socks.
This is the worst gift I ever got. Pair of socks.
Is that not the best?
That's fantastic.
I think we're coming up on my favorite cut, though, and it is a brilliant turn of phrase. I'll let you hear how he does it before I explain, but here we go. J.D. McPherson on Cairo Nights. Classic rock and roll songwriting.
That is great stuff.
This could have been on the radio in the 1960s.
This never got national play?
It did among more eclectic radio stations and, college radio and community stations.
Well, the rest of us were chumps for missing the boat on
that
one.
You don't hear this on your average nationally programmed Christmas music station.
What year did that come out?
2018.
No kidding.
So modern... But is it not amazing that if I had no idea who he was and I had heard that, say, in a mix on an oldies station or an all Christmas music station, I would have assumed it would have been recorded in the 50s or 60s?
Yeah, the style. Yeah, absolutely. It's got that modern, recording feel to it, though, I think a little bit.
It depends on the cut. But I think certain cuts you would be really hard pressed to tell.
I love the old cut it in one room, do it all live and play it till you get it right.
We'll do it live.
Right. The old Beatle recordings, they use the 19th take of this one. That's the one they got right. Nowadays, no one has the time or patience or money to do them over and over and over and over. They just fix the one little piece that they got to fix. There are albums that are done where none of the artists are in the same room. We did that with tunes for a while too. We would make a song. We were making our Twisted Christmas records. We made like five over the years. And we would have a guitarist playing from Vancouver or a vocalist playing from Boston.
And we the city, not the band.
Right. No. Although Bob knew those guys really well. We would have, it evolved to the point where we could have a session on the web. you know, and upload tracks that they could bring down into their computer and record through traditional means, real microphones, real amplifiers, even to tape, and then just bounce it to a digital recording session and throw it back up onto the InnoSphere, you know, and bring it to somebody else who would mix it back down and give us the final mix. We evolved to that. There were times when our guitarist, we had a gentleman named Ben Carlstrom who worked with us for years up in Vancouver. Great, great guitar player, great writer, great singer, great guy. Does jingles for a living, one of those guys, you know. It was before the internet was technologically advanced enough to make great music, so we used to record on 2-inch recording tape. And I was the guy on the team who had the free time and the willingness to drive a tape to Canada so Ben could put guitar tracks on a song we were working on. And I say drive to Canada because only once did I just drive to the border to give Ben a tape. I drove to the Canadian border at the, not the Vancouver crossing, the Blaine crossing. It was a little less trafficked at the Canadian-U.S. border. I drove up in my 1966 Volkswagen Beetle with a 2-inch tape, and I pulled up to customs, and the customs agent, which are Canadian as you leave, you talk to the Canadian customs agents, American customs agents as you come back. How long you got to be in Canada? It's like, oh, it's a couple minutes. I'm just dropping this off this guy over there in that car. You want to pull that over there, friend? We're going to, and I spent about 2 hours dismantling the interior of my Volkswagen and going through the 2-inch tape. I said, well, that's fine. Can you just at least look at the tape first and let this gentleman take the record? This is why I'm here. Take the recording tape with him and not, don't make him wait the 2 hours while you take the interior out of my Volkswagen Beetle to look for weed or whatever you're looking for. You know, at that point, I became aware that I'm going to Canada to visit a friend. I'll be there a day or two, you know, and I'd stay at Ben's house while he did the guitar tracks. I'd learn my lesson the hard way. When we come back, oh, great, great, great text requests, by the way. And a text agree with you, Matt. It's more 50s music than 60s music. That J.D. McPherson?
J.D. McPherson, the album is called Socks.
Socks. And it's funny. What do you want for Christmas? Socks. That's brilliant. It's brilliant marketing. Great cut. Great job. Great cut. Great album. Thanks for bringing it in, man. We'll be right back after these. It's Cairo Nights. Spike O'Neill, Matt Butler. We'll be right back. Cairo Nights, everybody. That one could just go on and on and on. Fantastic.
I should play worse music.
Yeah.
Well, we won't be so tempted to just.
No, it's okay. It's okay to let it play for a little while. This, you know, especially this time of year. But I know I tend to listen to the music you play because you play great music. A lot of people really appreciate that too, bud. You know, your average news sounder, and then back to the garbage of today's headlines. You know, who needs? We got enough of that on the radio. You know, it's nice to have a place to come and listen to guys. People talking about what's going on in their lives, what's going on. And it's important to know what's going on in the world we live in, absolutely, in the city that we love, you know, and to hold each other accountable and to hold those who we elect accountable. All those things are very important. But just as important is feeding the soul, you know, and music does that better than any other medium. Always has, always will. There's a story out today about, you know, the World Cup, of course. Tomorrow morning, the U.S. plays the Netherlands in the round of 16 World Cup. And it's that point of the cup where you're out of group play. Group play is the four teams, three games. You play the other three teams in your group. The highest point total, 3 for a win, 1 for a tie. Highest point total, 2 teams move on to this field of 16. That's where we are. A lot of teams didn't get out of the field of 16 this time. It was surprising Germany got sent home in the first round. A couple teams that were supposed to do well this year by national rankings of international FIFA rankings of soccer, or football, as the world likes to call it. A lot of people, the USA was, I think, a top 20 team in FIFA rankings, so it's no surprise that we got out of the group play. We take on the Netherlands tomorrow morning. And I believe it's a 7 o'clock kick. I'm not sure which. I've learned that it's a pitch that they play on. It's a match that they play. I'm not sure what the opening kick, I guess that's what you call that. It's not the kickoff, obviously. It's not the first pitch. On the pitch, ironic as that is. But the politics of this World Cup have been, you know, gotten a lot of airtime, especially in this country. Our little dust-up with the Iranians over the U.S. team's social media post in an attempt to be in solidarity with their citizenry, mostly the female half of the Iranian citizenry. I did a pretty disrespectful thing. The U.S. team posted a social media image of the Iranian flag without its center symbol. And I mentioned here, how would the U.S. fan base react if the Iranian national soccer team posted a image of the stars and stripes that had been altered? We'd be sideways. And Iran asked for the U.S. to be kicked out of the tournament, which didn't happen. We booted them out of the tournament. It's what ended up actually happening on the pitch. I think Don Lemon from CNN got in a bunch of trouble because he was saying that men's athletics deserve the higher pay they get than women.
Don Lemon, he is the ultimate case of, does anybody get along with and like his opinions? I remember when conservative people really disliked Don Lemon. Now the left is going to be on his case. Don Lemon is just struggling to be liked, man.
He really is. Although I got to say, you know, it's hard to argue that the men in sports don't warrant more pay than the women in sports only because they're paid based upon the revenue that they generate.
Right. Like, my point on this would be that it's not quite the same in my estimation as a typical job, equal pay for equal work.
Right, right.
And it's not a reflection on anyone's talent.
Not at
but
all.
The thing is that sports is all about marketing.
Yep.
Because it's about getting viewer eyes to sell product from advertisers. And men's sports traditionally have attracted a wider number of viewers, and as such, those broadcasts are worth more to advertisers, which is why I suppose they get paid more.
It is. It's exactly why they get paid more. And, you know, and we are, I like to think that you and I are woke enough to know.
Right. Like I said, it's not a reflection on anyone's skill.
No, nor their value.
It's the funding mechanisms of athletics itself.
Exactly.
If you want higher pay for female athletes, then more people need to support female athletics.
And there are vast rooms for improvement as far as the revenue that the female athlete is entitled to make. For example, if a male athlete in the NBA sells a jersey, his jersey is sold, he gets a percentage of that royalty.
Right.
Not so for the WNBA.
Really?
Really. Yeah.
That's a problem.
Their collective bargaining agreement with their league doesn't reward them financially for fans embracing their stars and buying their jerseys. And that should be addressed.
That should be addressed.
You know, I mean, obviously, you know, LeBron makes more to suit up for one game than most WNBA players make for a year, if not in their career. And I understand the disparity there, but you have to look at the revenue generated by the WNBA as opposed to the revenue generated by the NBA. Now, in soccer, it's a little bit different world because the American women's soccer team has had more success than the men's team. They are probably greater revenue generators than the men's team.
And they should absolutely see the rewards of that.
And they did, didn't they? They fought hard for pay equity. As far as the Megan Rapinoe, local Megan Rapinoe,
right?
You know, fought hard for equity for the women of the U.S. women's soccer team. Now, of course, women's professional soccer, we have it here in Seattle, the Seattle Reign, of which also Megan Rapinoe was a participating athlete. She plays for our team. But the Sounders generate more revenue and probably make more money than the Reign of Seattle. And that's, again, based on market what the team brings in revenue, and mostly through TV contracts. It's not about fan ticket attendance. It's not about live attendance at events, because I believe the women probably draw pretty similar. Not to the Sounders. They're a phenomenon in the U.S. for as far as their fan base and the draw they have over at Lumen Field. But for TV revenue, and that's where most of the money these athletes make is generated, through the TV contracts to put these sports on national television.
And I hope this changes. I truly
I do.
I would love to see female athletes having pay parity with male superstar athletes as well. But Don Lemon's comment about how it is and why it is that way is sadly true right now.
It is true. And it's, you're right. He wants everybody to like him, but a lot of times people ain't going to like you when you tell them the truth.
No, I know. I don't know if he means that or not. I'm just saying he probably, it's a struggle, because it seems like he gets it a lot from both sides.
He really does. And again, it's hard to get people to like what you say when you're telling them the truth. You can tell them what they want to hear and they'll like what you say. The fact that I've just described politics to you.
Well, Don Lemon, case in point, I mean, he was on the Colbert Show talking about that very thing. The perception of CNN is liberal, and if the new boss, Chris Light, is going to change things around, he's already having to fire a significant number of people. But if he's going to change the tone of CNN, or if it's a liberal organization or a conservative one. And he spoke to that on the Stephen Colbert Show. You want to hear that?
Yeah, please.
I don't think we ever were liberal.
What?
Yes, I don't think we ever were.
That, not me saying that. That's the people out there saying that he's not letting you be liberal anymore.
Well, I think what Chris is saying is that he wants Republicans, sensible Republicans. He wants us to hold people to account, but he wants people to come on and feel comfortable with coming on and talking on CNN.
And I think that is a very accurate statement. I think it's a fair statement. CNN couldn't get Republican or conservative voices to come on their network because they had been on conservative networks that threw them softball interviews and let them speak mistruth.
But the thing I never liked about CNN in the advent of the Trump administration was it seemed like for a while they were almost bending over backwards to be bipartisan in both sides in some of their nighttime programming in terms of the guests they had on. And all that would happen is these guests would come on and they would shout over each other. You weren't getting any information. You weren't getting quality debate on an actual policy idea from the left or right. It was just a constant argument.
Yeah. And that can be entertaining, but it also becomes grating real quick. You know, no one wants to, you know, if I want to see people fight all day, I'll just have family dinners with my family every week. You know, once a year is plenty for that. Boy, we're out of time. I can't believe we're done already. We're going to come back, read some of your texts. Let's squeeze one more Christmas Twisted tune in before we go too, if we could, Matt. Thanks. It's Kyra Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. And we had a jolly old time tonight. I appreciate you guys being part of the show. We'll be right back after these.
A singer by the name of Sarah Groves. One of the most original songs I've ever heard.
That's pretty great. It's Kyra Knights. It's Tis the Season, guys. We're going to try to give you a little bit of everything here. So did you find the song I asked for?
I did.
Okay. Let's grab a couple texts first, and we'll use that song to take us home. Someone asked, the opening that you play, Before we do the show opener every night, what is that from? Because they thought it was from a Dan Aykroyd bit.
The clip at the intro to every edition of Cairo Nights is the actor that plays Ben Stern, Howard Stern's father, in Stern's biopic Private Parts. It is from a scene where Stern's father, who in real life was a broadcast studio engineer, much like a producer or a board op of sorts, is taming, if you will, the very irate Symphony Sid, who is in the booth breaking records. And Ben Stern uses the powers vested in him by the FCC to get Symphony Sid calmed down and back playing Sunday blues and jazz.
Nice. Nice that there's your answer, friends. Oh, just a lot of great takes tonight. I appreciate that. A couple I wonder that I don't want to miss. Yes, the pup is doing good. Fur's grown back in. We had took her to another groomer, and we told him just clean her eyebrows so she can see us and find her food. Let the rest grow. Let me see. No, we're not going to talk about that one. You know what? Play the song. I'll find what I want to say, and we'll say it at the end. It's Cairo Nights with Spike O'Neill and Matt Butler.
Shop at Toys R Us. Doesn't have to fight the Christmas rush. He's never out of stock with even the hottest toys and games. It's easy. Nothing in his sack he really made. No one gets forgotten Christmas Day. So if you want to know how he gets it done in the nick of time, it's easy.
We can't make. Do you have any idea how hard it is to make a 64-bit video system out of wood? Oh, let me tell you, it ain't easy.
Don't get worried
about it. All you need is elves. All you need is elves.
We're non-union later.
All you need is elves. Love. Elves are all you need.
Nothing you can know, not much is known. Cause no one's ever caught one in his home. They're never really seen, but that doesn't mean that they're make-believe. They're teensy.
Twist up in your big freak.
All you need is cells. All you need is cells.
We're too short for Space Mountain.
All you need.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, we brought in members of the Seattle Symphony Orchestra to do that. We all dressed up in like pointy ears and fake teeth and elf makeup and made a video. That's Bob Rivers, Twisted Tunes. All you need is elves. Thanks so much, folks. We hope you had a fun time tonight. We had a great week with all you guys. Matt, great job, brother.
Always a pleasure.
J.D. McPherson.
Socks. Get it Socks. At the record store of your choice yep. or online.
A couple texters said, I found the perfect Christmas gift for the rockabilly fan in my life. Nicely done. We hope you guys have a fun weekend. We will see you on Monday. Don't forget, the last time tonight, you have till 11:59. Go to mynorthwest.com/win and to win a pair of Seahawks tickets to take on the Hawks, and Hawks take on the 49ers on the 15th of December. The word for today is win. Enter the key code word win today. You have until 11:59. We'll draw three winners tonight. Have a great weekend. We'll see you guys Monday.